to put that burden on her daughter's shoulders, didn't want her to have any expectations as to who she was or who she was supposed to be. She wanted her daughter to grow into her own person, to be exactly who she was meant to be. Tracy could never forget that something horrible and tragic had happened to Sarah, something Kavita Mukherjee and thousands of young women had suffered. She didn't want that morbid thought associated with something so innocent and beautiful. "No," Tracy said. "When I hear our daughter's name, I want it to be associated only with something beautiful, something that has always brought a smile to my face."
"Okay," Dan said.
"So then what do you want to name her?" And the name came to Tracy, one that neither she nor Dan had previously discussed, but that now seemed just perfect. "I want to name her after the person who brought color back to my world, when I could see only black and white. I want to name her Danielle." Tears filled Dan's eyes. He bent down low so that their noses touched.
"Seriously?" he whispered.
"We can call her Danny for short," Tracy said.
"Okay," he said.
"Danielle Sarah O'Leary it is." He kissed Tracy, long and full on the lips. Then she said,
"Why don't you bring them in?"
Dan kissed his daughter and left the room. Tracy found the remote control and raised her bed, Danielle cradled at her side. The epidural had begun to wear off and she could feel the discomfort setting in, as well as the fatigue. Still, her focus remained on her daughter. She couldn't stop looking at her, couldn't stop smiling. The door to the room pushed open and the nurse walked back in.
"Has she tried to eat yet?"
"Not yet," Tracy said. "She's just lying here, taking everything in."
"She is alert, isn't she?"
The nurse walked over and gave the baby a closer look. "Give her a few minutes, then try to get her to eat. She'll be hungry.
Speaking of which, what can I bring Mom?"
Tracy had to get used to the sound of that. "Mom."
"I'd love a cheeseburger and fries and a chocolate milkshake," Tracy said, "with a shot of whipped cream. I figure I have a few more months to be bad."
"Then you might as well enjoy it. What about your husband?"
"Make it two."
"You got it," she said, departing. The door opened again and Dan walked in, followed by Foz and Vera. Vera walked straight to Tracy, straight to the baby. She wore a fashionable knit hat over the remnants of her hair. When the oncology team told her it would be best to shave her head during the chemotherapy treatments to avoid the shock of clumps of hair falling out in her brush, Foz had called Tracy and asked if she would come over for moral support. Tracy did so, and she'd visited Vera nearly every day during her chemotherapy treatments, even when Tracy had become as big as an SUV. She brought over home-cooked meals Vera could freeze during the week.
"She's beautiful," Vera said, gushing.
"Oh my God, Vic, look at her. She's like a little angel." Foz stepped to the edge of the bed.
"She's gorgeous, Tracy. You done good. You done real good."
His face had healed from the beating. He had scars, but they'd been able to stitch the cut over his eye into his eyebrow and to straighten his nose and shave the bump. He had been off work for almost 2 months while he recovered from his injuries, which included 2 cracked ribs. They were still easing him back into the A-team. Vera had taken care of him, despite Foz's protests. It had been good therapy for her, and it had helped her to forget about her cancer and to get through the days.
"How are you feeling?" Tracy said to Vera.
"Isn't that a question I should be asking you?"
"I'm fine," Tracy said. "A little tired and a little emotional, but I couldn't be happier. How did your last treatment go?"
Vera'd had her final chemotherapy treatment 2 days before Tracy went into the hospital. Foz said the oncologist was more than optimistic her cancer was in remission and would stay that way.
"I'm fine," Vera said. "Honestly, I've never felt more energized than when Dan called and told us you were in the hospital."
"When do you see the plastic surgeon?"
"About a month," Vera said.
"I suggested that we have dinner with Andrea Gonzalez in case Vera wanted to get a look at possible sizes," Foz said.
Vera swatted him with her hand.
"Hey, it's like buying a car, right? You gotta go out and take a look to see what's out there."
"You go look," Vera said.
You're not the one who has to carry them around all day.
Hey, what did you name her?
Foz said to Tracy.
Danielle, Tracy said. We'll call her Danny.
No kidding.
He looked at Dan and gave him a nod. I always wanted to name Antonio Foz. Vera wouldn't let me.
Vera rolled her eyes.
That would be perfect, wouldn't it?
Foz Fazio. You got a restaurant named after you. Be happy with that.
Is it open? Tracy asked.
A week from tomorrow, Foz said. We want you there with Del and Celia and Kins and Shanna.
Wouldn't miss it, Dan said.
It's a dual celebration, Vera said. Antonio proposed to his girlfriend.
That's wonderful, Dan said. Did Vera tell you she's going to be working at the restaurant?
Foz asked.
Just a few days a week as the hostess, Vera said.
No, no. Tell them what Antonio said.
Vera looked reluctant.
Foz said, he wants Vera to eventually move into the kitchen. What's the word he used?
Tournante, Vera said.
That's it. He wants Vera to become the tournante chef. That's a chef who oversees everything in the kitchen. She'll fit right in.
I appreciate all the attention, Vera said, but I think there's a certain mother and adorable baby who deserve it a little bit more than me.
Tracy smiled. Do you want to hold her?
Vera beamed.
Do I want to hold her? Can a rooster crow? Let me see that little angel.
Tracy handed the baby to Vera.
My God, look at how awake and alert she is.
You better be careful, Tracy. This one could end up a detective, Foz said.
She's just beautiful, Vera kept saying. Just the most beautiful thing.
Tracy gave Dan a nod. Dan said, listen, before everyone else gets here, there's something Tracy and I wanted to ask the two of you. Vera, who had been swaying and cooing, stopped moving. Foz looked concerned. He turned to Tracy.
You're coming back, aren't you?
That's a decision for down the road. You know that Tracy considers you all to be like family, Dan said. So we were wondering if the two of you would do us the honor of being Danielle's godparents. For a moment, neither Vera nor Foz spoke. They looked at one another in silence. Then Vera began to cry, tears streaming down her cheeks, which set off Foz.
Wow, he said softly. That would be an honor. That would be a real honor, wouldn't it, Vera?
Vera nodded. She moved to Tracy, bent, and kissed her cheek.
How do you like that? Foz said. First I get a restaurant named after me, then I become a godfather. And don't you worry, Tracy, he said, adopting a very good Marlon Brando impersonation. Any boys come around your daughter, I'm going to make them an offer they can't refuse.
Don Fazio, Tracy said. God help us. The A-team will never be the same.
We hope you've enjoyed our presentation of A Steep Price by Robert Tigoni, performed by Emily Sutton Smith. Performance copyright 2018 by Brilliance Publishing, Inc. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brilliancedaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.